Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The radio home of the Buffalo Sabres. WGR Sports Radio 550 and WGR550.com. Sports update.
All right. Sabres still on the bye week. So top of the update list, Marty St. Louis was named the special teams consultant for the Columbus Blue Jackets yesterday. Marty St. Louis played 17 seasons in the NHL with the Flames, Lightning, Rangers, scoring 1,033 points in 1,134 games, and was inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame on November 12th. Goalie Mikko Koskinen signed a three-year contract with the Oilers yesterday that has an average annual value of $4.5 million. Koskinen is in his first season with Edmonton and had spent the previous five seasons in the KHL, ranking second in the league with a 1.57 goals against average and a .937 save percentage. Jonathan Quick got his 302nd career win with the Kings 4-3 victory over the Blues last night. Quick moved into fourth place on the NHL's all-time list among U.S.-born goalies with the win. Quick made 33 saves. Anze Kopitar and Tyler Toffoli each had a goal and an assist. Paul Ledoux and Drew Doughty also scored. The Panthers defeated the Sharks 6-2 last night. Frank Vatrano had a goal and three assists. Keith Yandel, Vincent Trocheck scored a power play. They both scored power play goals 9 seconds apart in the third. Roberto Luongo made 27 saves. Logan Couture and Timo Meier scored for the Sharks, who lost three in a row. Other scores from around the league: Nashville beat Colorado 4-1. I mentioned LA 4-3 over St. Louis. Minnesota 4-2 over Vegas Golden Knights. And Florida, as I mentioned, 6-2 win over San Jose. Tune into One Bills Live today, where Bills insider Chris Brown will co-host with Steve Tasker as John Murphy is live from Mobile, Alabama for the 2019 Reese's Senior Bowl. Murph will bring us the latest from Mobile, Alabama this week leading up to the Senior Bowl game on Saturday. And that's your sports update for today. And today's National Blonde Brownie Day.
Can I give you an update? I have it. Insight information.
Oh, my goodness. What is it?
So yesterday I was at the Harbor Center.
Riv scale wise.
My son had a varsity game in the morning. And as I got there, so his game was at 9:30. So we got there about 8:15. Mm-hmm. And there was a crowd gathered on the main rink at Harbor Center watching Matty Ellis and Nick Tozzolino on the ice with who? Who was on the ice with
Littering them? Littering and who is it? With
Rasmus Dahlin. It was Monday morning, the first day of their official bye week, and Rasmus Dahlin is on the ice doing drills for about an hour with Matty Ellis and Nick Tozzolino. And listen, I'm not going out there with a scoop and like private information. It was out there at Harbor Center for everybody. There was high school kids everywhere. They were all on the glass right by the snack bar watching Dahlin doing these drills, and it was pretty cool. So, where everybody's on vacation down south, and he's 18 years old, and he's working on his game.
They took the young buck and said, hey, you got to earn the vacation time or what?
No, I think the young buck called because they can't work with their own coaches, and the bye week coaches are not allowed. You can't put pressure on the players to say, hey, stay and practice. You have a bye week, but you can call a development or a skill coach and work with them.
You know what? I'm going to chuck a bone to Matty Ellis because Zemgus Girgensons looks like a totally different hockey player this year.
Yeah.
It's not just on ice edges and shooting. It's conversation. It's mindset. It's getting ready. It's all of it. Identifying what you are and how to go about getting it
done. I'll
tell
you this. Matty Ellis is the Connor McDavid of skill development stuff. down there at the Harbor Center, Nick Tozzolino and Sell, and you just keep going on and on. Those guys do an absolutely fantastic job, and very pleased that those two guys are working with the young buck. That's pretty awesome.
instigators, Andrew Peters, Craig Rivet, Marty Biron here on Tuesday, giving Matty Ellis, our old Thursday boy, a little bit of love. Well deserved. We miss Matty around here and his bang on Thursdays.
Absolutely miss him. No question.
803-0550, 888-550-2550, if you care to get in on our conversation. We were talking in the first hour about the Sabres. Mike Harrington had an article that came out just talking about the first 25 games, the last 23. And I guess the question is this, and did expectations change for everybody from drop of the puck, period one, game one of the regular season, to the end of that 25th game, you know, when they were in first place? Did everyone's expectations change?
Yes. I drank the Kool-Aid. I was drunk on first
place. How much
place proof
was it? Was it 100 proof Kool-Aid?
Whatever strength it was, I drank all of it. And when you put yours down to go to the washroom, I drank yours too. So, I mean, I was punch drunk for sure. I mean, when you have success like that, and you have so many players playing well, the goaltending that was a bit of a struggle last year, playing so well with Ullmark and Hutton, the defense core, which has been something that has been a struggle for a number of years, Jason Botterill has truly put together a really nice defense core. I mean, the forwards that were brought in, with Skinner just going on absolutely fire, and having chemistry with Jack Eichel and Sam Reinhart, put a huge smile on your face. And it just went on and on and on. And, you know, I was punch drunk, you know, there's no question about it. I want to make the playoffs. It's like that deep down, like, I don't have to make the tough decisions that Jason Botterill has. I just get to be the fan that says, come on, make a trade. Let's get this team better. And the reality is that probably is not the realistic and right way of looking at things. I think you have to sit back and say, where were we last year? And where are we now? We're 4 points out of a playoff spot. That's where we are. And realistically, that's probably where we should be. Their first 25 game was outstanding. Their next 25 games has not been good. It's been the worst in the National Hockey League. Now they have a bye week. Take a deep breath. Get away from the game. Come back and regroup. And let's see if they can finish this season real strong and do something special.
I'm not going to take credit for this because it was a Brian Duff idea that says, okay, it's normal to say let's look at after the streak, right? And because it splits the season in half a little bit, 25 games, 23 games, you know, you're sitting at 48. So you look at, you know, where you were before and where you are after. And he said, let's change the parameters a little bit. Let's include the 10-game streak with what's been happening since. So let's look at the first 15 games of the season where we weren't sure what type of team we had. Mm-hmm. And let's look at the last 33 games. So we're going to include the 10-game winning streak with the 23 games afterwards.
Gotcha.
Okay, so maybe that's going to kind of change the
calculate
way we
out to something different.
Okay, so in the first 15 games, they were 7-6-2 at 16 points, which is just teetering over around 500. And they were 16th in the National Hockey League. Over the last 33, so you include the 10-game winning streak and the last 23 games, they're 17-12-4, 38 points, and they're 15th in the National Hockey League in that span. So that, to me, is more a correct assessment of what we have here with the team.
On both sides, right? The first 15 games.
Couldn't
and
you
the
do that with
games.
Any stretch of games? I mean, couldn't I? I could eliminate any game from a thing and make anything look better.
Okay, but if you take the first 25 and the last 23, you have a really hot team and a really poor team. Is that what the Sabres are? They're not as good as a first-place team. They're not as bad as a last-place team either. So I'm saying that let's include that 10, like Brandoff was like, let's include that 10-game streak and see what we got.
Listen, there's games that they played exceptionally well in this last 23 games. There's games that they played exceptionally well and lost.
Yeah.
Okay? But there were games that they didn't play as well in that 10-game winning streak that did not play well, and they won. There was games that they were down, 4-1 going into the third period, and they'd come back and win in overtime?
Yeah, that was a Crosby-less Penguins. And, I mean, you take one player out of the lineup, but to me, he's one of
the greatest
games.
That was a Carter Hutton unbelievable save on Phil Kessel in the second period.
Yes.
That's what it
was.
You make a save.
The stars aligned in the first 25. Yep. There's been realistic play of the last 23. I think the Sabres record could be a little bit stronger than what it actually shows, because I think there were some games where they played quite well but did not pick up any points, which didn't show in the score sheet. But, I mean,
the Sabres are a 14th to 19th overall in the National Hockey League. That's where they sit in my thinking. Like, if you pick a five place kind of middle ground where you say, hey, are they a top five, a secondary five, a third five, or whatever, they're a 15th to 20th overall kind of team. Yep. And the numbers are showing that.
If we just finish this season out in a strong format, do you think next year this team's going to be better? You're going to have a year under his belt.
Yeah,
Casey Mittelstadt, Dahlin, Tage Thompson, guys that we're talking about that are young. But even
how would this
Sam
team
Reinhardt,
do against last year's team?
I think this team would kill last year's team. Absolutely kill them.
And wouldn't you expect next year's team to beat this year's team?
Yes, absolutely.
So that there tells me that there is, you know, the steps in the right direction. The next point I want to make is, I just can't get over, number one, that people were so blinded by the Sabres being in the number one spot in the league. I mean, you could look at on the paper, and you don't need stats, and you don't need to see your opponents coming
up. Guess
and
what?
The difficulty in schedule.
Us fans out there that saw our team first overall.
It was nice to see, and they came out in numbers to watch.
It's not just the fans and being first overall, because when's the last time the Sabres had a 10-game win streak?
Oh, it was 06-07.
06-07. Where did they finish?
First in the league.
First
we
in the
started
league.
Out
so
of the
no,
gate,
but,
though,
but,
with 10 wins. So, I mean, so you're 20 points
matter.
Ahead with 70 games to go.
It doesn't matter where you have your 10-game yeah, winning right. streak. It doesn't matter. Okay?
I think it
doesn't
it
matter.
A, yeah.
It's 10-game winning streak.
Well,
it doesn't
if
matter.
The Sabres, if the Sabres the, are 30 were, points out of the playoffs with 20 games to go, I mean, or 10 games to go, I mean, a 10-game win streak isn't going to help them.
No, but it's just the fact that the Sabres had this year at a 10-game win streak. The last time they did was 06-07 when they won the President's Trophy. And so it is easy to, even as the best of analysts in the business, to look at the Sabres around the world and say, they are
we
for real.
We also lost in the conference finals the year before. This team finished dead last. And that 10-game win streak could very easily have been 5-4-1. Could have been 3-7. Could have been 1-9 if they don't. If Dan Dunleavy doesn't title them the Cardiac Kids or the Comeback Kids, I mean, it was smoke and mirrors. Where the team is now, people are pulling their hair out, and I actually think it's kind of hilarious, because I'm sitting here watching everyone be like, they were in first place. We could have won the cup. No, we couldn't have won the cup. This is not a playoff contending team. They're not going to the finals.
But they
and
beat.
Now good we're
teams.
Chasing Pittsburgh.
Rives is about to. Breathe in and the nose.
Someone put on some spa music right now, because I'm going to lose it.
With what? What are you going to lose it at? Who?
Because, they play some.
Did you honestly think that a patch-up move in November was going to make this team that much better? How many players in a move are we talking about? Are we asking him to say, okay, now take your unknown San Jose pick and your unknown St. Louis pick and trade one of those away? Who knows if they even could or if somebody wants them. You don't know if you're going to trade your own pick, because I somehow feel like Jason Bottrell's realistic and didn't think that this team was going to be first in the league drafting 29th going into the draft. So he's not going to trade his own pick to patch a hole. You can't trade Sam Reinhart because he's literally the right wing piece that's making your top line, the only line that's scoring move. You can't move Kyle Oposo. He's not playing well enough to carry $6 million. You can't trade. You don't want to carry money on the cap. You don't want to make these moves and dig yourself back into the hole. What move are you going? You didn't even have a piece on your roster that you could have traded one for one for the guy that went to Carolina, Niederreiter. You didn't have a Rask-level player in your bottom nine to make that move. What move are you going to make without trading Gooley, without trading Nylander, without trading, you know, I'll
well,
even
at
say
what point,
Will Borgen,
at what point,
Lawrence Pilot? You want to trade
at
him?
What
some
point
guy
do
in
we,
Rochester has him winning the friggin' Norris this year.
At what point in time do you look to move an Alex Nylander or a Brendan Gooley? We have three first-round draft
picks.
On at what point in time do we...
I have a theory on Nylander.
Go for it, because I have something too.
I think Nylander will be your replacement on the top line for Sam Reinhart when maybe you move him to bring in bigger assets. I love Sam Reinhart. I don't want to trade him. But his cap number is amazing for a team to take on his production. You have a guy. No, you're not. You're shaking your head. No,
you just we're both shaking our heads.
You
were deeming this guy Wayne Gretzky like last year. I mean, you love Sam Reinhart.
I do.
How did you just bring a trade thought for Sam Reinhart? I think he's played fantastic.
Well, do you have to not like players in order to move them? You can love players and move them because maybe the player that you love and you're moving and you love him so much and he's such a crucial piece might bring you in a few pieces that might balance out your roster in other places, and you have young talent that could maybe step in. We don't even know what Nylander is.
No, I think so,
apparently anyone can play in that top line right wing.
The only way you would trade Sam Reinhart is if, number one, he doesn't fulfill a role on your team. He's a good player but doesn't fulfill a role. He fulfills a role.
Are you going to pay him $5.5 million to play right wing when you drafted him as a center?
Yeah, who cares where you drafted him at? If he gets you 65 points a year and Jack has got 95 points playing with him and you have Skinner on the other side, I totally get that. Now, my Nylander scenario here, and I think what we're going to start seeing in the month of February is that some guys are going to get called up. And I would think Nylander will get some NHL action. I would think that before the end of the season, you may even see maybe an Olofsson get a game or two. After the trade deadline, there is no roster limitation. You can call guys on emergency call-ups. You have a number of call-ups you can make or transactions you can make, but you can kind of work around there with the emergency call-ups and all of that. You're going to see some players getting a chance to play. And maybe, and just maybe, that's going to help making the picture for next season and maybe even for March and April a little clearer. But I don't think that you're making moves, including Nylander and all the it's sad because we got so excited. But I'm just saying, you kind of go about your business. You need to clean up two things, and players are not going to do that. And we talked about it. You need to clean up your power play, and you need to clean up some of the outrageous mistakes you're making. Because
how do you clean up the power play, Marty? What would be your first and foremost? Is there anything that comes to mind that could change or help?
Yes.
We're all listening.
No, I'm not. Okay.
We are listening.
They need to clean up their breakouts. I think you can't have Rasmus Ristolainen be your power play quarterback. I don't think Rasmus Ristolainen has the awareness, the knowledge, and the abilities to be your power play your quarterback. So that has to be Dahlin. Okay, he's been good, and he's shown you what he can do. He needs to be your quarterback. And so you go with Dahlin. You have Eichel. You probably put Pilot on the other side. You put Sam and Jeff Skinner on that first unit, and you let them figure it out. That's the future of your team. Get them their first power play time and get them going. Now, if you want to put Risto in the second power play, fine. But that is my biggest thing right now with the power play.
Was Ristolainen not last year the number one power play defenseman points wise?
He played the full 2 minutes.
No, he didn't. He didn't play the full two minutes. But he played just like all the other ones, the big boys on every other team. Ristolainen was the number one power play producing defenseman in the National Hockey League.
I don't know if that's true.
You think that that's the reason?
No, I look at him. He can't execute a breakout. Like last game in Vancouver, towards the end of the game, and there was a great GIF online.
Listen, you're blaming Ristolainen for our breakout. All he does is skate up the middle and drop it to Jack.
Yeah, but his drop pass are not at the right time. He doesn't know the timing. He drops it when he doesn't create the separation. Sometimes he hits it off the wall so that he gets that bounce.
I saw that play where he carried it up over the red line in Vancouver and just kind of bank passed it back to nobody.
It's like, what? What are you doing?
That was a tough one. That was a tough play. That was one of his worst plays.
So fix the power play, yes. I just think it starts with 26, Rasmus Dahlin being your first power play quarterback, and maybe you use Pilot's ability to get points. A shot from the point from the right flank. He's a lefty. Got Jack on the other side. You got Sam front of the net, and Jeff Skinner has the bumper. And go with that. Go with that personnel, and it can't get worse.
So everyone's pulling their hair out. We're going to break, and when we come back, with the team's expectations, have they changed? I'm not saying just here, but everywhere. I feel like people wanted to move or make a change to try to sustain? And here's my theory. There's one thing we learned about the first 25 and the last 23 in this season altogether, the 10-game winning streak and everything, that Jeff Skinner playing with Jack Eichel can score. And if we can get a contract extension for 8 years with Jeff Skinner on a silver platter after the deadline, the season's a win for me regardless of where they finish. We'll return in a few minutes, and when we do, we're going to have buy-sell trade presented by Buffalo Sports. It's a lot of the Olympic talk and U.S.-born goalie wins. A little controversy over, that. We'll be right back, WGR 550 and MSG.
We're back with more of The Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rabe.
All right. Let's do it. Buy, sell, trade presented by Buffalo Sports. Go to Buffalo Sports on McKinley Parkway where you can buy, sell, and trade new and used sports equipment. As I mentioned before, on McKinley Parkway. That reminds me of, that's Austin Powers. Allow myself to introduce myself. Do you know anything about my father's whereabouts? WGR 550 MSG.
I'm in a movie, View from the Top. Mike Myers, he's the flight attendant, and he goes, you put the wrong emphasis on the wrong syllable.
I've never seen that, but that's a Mike Myers. Speaking of which, Marty, we're going to have to do something either on the air or off the air about the Oscar nominations are now out. You know, we're movie buffs. Rivs is trying. He's working on it. He's watched a couple flicks in the last couple of weeks, but we're movie buffs. We got to talk about this. There's some upsets and some we'll figure it out. The Golden Globes were not long ago, but time now for buy sell trade presented by Buffalo Sports. So let's get right into it. Is it time for the NHL?
Is it time?
I'm not posing the question for buy sell trade. I'm kind of posing the question in general. Where is it here? I'm just trying to find the article. Anyway, screw it. Here we go. Is it time for NHLers to get over their Olympic love affair? And this question, so it's a buy-sell trade, and the reason why I think this question comes up is simply because the Olympics get pulled out from underneath the players, and now the World Cup 2020 is now canceled because it missed a deadline. And is it just time to throw away international competition, but Olympics specifically? Buy-sell trade.
So what's the question? It is time.
Is it time for NHLers to get over their Olympic love affair? Move on. Stop playing the Olympics.
Hard sell for me. Hard sell.
Hard sell.
The Olympics is one of the best events in the world. And for the NHL to not be at the Olympics is a very, very big mistake. And I understand why the World Cup in 2020 will not happen. There's a business aspect to it. And I also understand why the Olympics didn't happen last time, because the negotiation with the IIHF and the IOC was pretty spotty. But, I mean, at some point, the NHL going to Beijing in 2022, that's China. That's a market that the NHL is trying to get to. They have to go.
It is insane. It would be insane for the NHL not to be part of the Olympics. I mean, for the fans, first and foremost, Everyone absolutely loves it. It's the opportunity to see the greatest players in the world play for their country. There's the emotion. It is absolutely incredible. And the business side of things, I mean, China's $1.4 billion population might be something that the NHL might want to tap into.
Is that a dollar for every person?
Are you kidding me? I mean, this is an absolute no-brainer. It'd be a colossal failure if they didn't go to the Olympics.
There's so many things the NHL has to do to make their partnership and the business better. We're going to have the All-Star Game this weekend. Cut that out. You know, like, use the Olympics and the World Cup as your showcase. Showcase the best player in the world, the patriotic aspect to it, represent your country, have the young guns or the under 21 or whatever team that was, under 23 teams that was, do some of that stuff. But the All-Star Game is whatever. Get rid of it. You'd have All-Star players play every 2 years because you'd have an Olympic 2 years later, World Cup 2 years later, Olympic. It would be such a great way to continue, you know, the events. And yeah, so
is it time for NHLers to get over their Olympic love affair? Did you buy, sell, or trade, Riff?
100% sell.
Okay, I 100% buy, and I'm not trying. Okay, slam your pen down and tell me that you think I'm stirring the pot. There you go. You too, Marty. And tell me that I'm doing it on purpose. Two reasons why. John Tavares, Aaron Ekblad, and owners. And no, you can't use an international competition for...
Victor Rask in Carolina cut his hand cooking in training camp.
Then
an accident can happen at any moment.
Abe Hurst, mowed his own toe off in junior, and it might have cost him his hockey career. I mean, the lawnmower man, they called him. I mean, crap happens off the ice. I mean, real life will sometimes intercept players in their health, but this is, you have to protect your investment and your asset. And if I'm on a team, if I'm playing on a team and I'm not in the Olympics, like take for instance, when I played for the New Jersey Devils, we had six or seven guys. We traded for Kovalchuk before the break. We had six or seven guys go to the Olympics. We were second in the conference behind Washington, who had Carolina, Tampa, Florida, and Atlanta in their division. So they were walking away with the President's Trophy in the conference. And all I'm thinking is, oh, please. I was so happy when Luongo took over for goal for Berdur so that Marty could come back refreshed and healthy. We had Jamie Langenbrunner playing. We had Zach Parise playing. We had Kovalchuk playing. I'm just thinking, we lose one of these guys, our odds to win are over. So you got to be thinking, if I'm a player on the team thinking that way, you got to be thinking, the guy writing the checks for $80 million a year salary cap, some of these guys making 10, 12 million, they got to be thinking, oh my God, don't get hurt. John Tavares got hurt with that logic,
then the NHL shouldn't have playoffs. They should end the regular season and say we're done because John Tavares could get hurt in the first round and miss next year.
Tim Connelly got hurt in the playoffs and he missed the next year. The Olympics aren't tied.
But they're getting money back. They're getting exposure. They're growing the business with the Olympics.
Well, this actually is interesting. Jeff Blair writes the article and he says the first step, get over this love affair with the Olympics, a competition that makes other people and organizations richer, the IOC and all of the people that host the countries and all of it, revenue for TVs, I'm sure, and things like that. But you got to.
So who made the money in the World Cup?
The World Cup is revenue shared with the. It's all split by it's NHL run.
So that's fine because they're getting all the money.
It might be more justifiable because of the business aspect of it.
Find a better way to negotiate with the IOC and the.
But Ekblad was hurt in the World Cup. Yeah. So I'm not in. I guess I'm saying. I'm not even in favor of the All-Star game. I would love to see what the NHL does with the All-Star game at the end of the season where bring all the players, even if they haven't played, who cares? The guys don't try. Bring them to the awards and have the game in Vegas and do it there at the end of the year in the summer in the sun when the boys can go out and party and hang out and do it that way. But to do it this way, I think you're putting too much. Let's look at it this way. Jack goes to the Olympics in a couple years or the World Cup. We lose Jack. We're screwed. We've seen that the last 2 years.
Would you be in favor of moving the hockey to the summer games so that it's in August?
That's an interesting point, too. And I know because...
Guys train a certain way at the start of the summer, and they have a training regimen that finishes basically into September.
Yeah.
You're not going to have a summer games. You think the guys want to play
in the
summertime?
The World Cup is the same thing. It's in September. That would be
Wouldn't be one guy around that would be signing up for that.
For what?
The summer games. Playing hockey in the summertime. It's
I don't
not going
like
to
the
happen.
Idea,
well, the NBA season runs through the winter. I mean, they play in the summer, and that's, you think about it so that it doesn't interrupt.
Yeah, but at the NBA, it's easier to say basketball could be a summertime sport.
Yes, I agree
for hockey to have it in the summer. I don't like the idea, but I'm trying to see if that changes the perspective on it, saying, well, it's not in the middle of the season, so now we're not interrupting and closing the doors on the game.
I think it's interesting.
The NHL going over to Europe? They play games in Europe every year. Why are they going over there?
Well, they want to grow the game.
They want to grow the game. So we're not going to go over to China? It's the biggest country, most populated country in the world. I mean, why would we not go over and try and tap that in. Market. I mean, it should be starting now to bring in.
Well, they did. Was it Calgary and Boston played in China at the beginning of the season?
And there should be many more games over there to try and drive attention towards the Olympics and what is going to be offered from the hockey side of it. The business is absolutely endless they, when you're have, talking about that country.
Then they have Lenny McDonald out in China. They had Bobby Orr, I think, and Ray Bourque or whatever. They paraded the legends out over there and to build a market, to grow the business.
Gretzky's over there too now, right? Isn't he doing something over there? He's an ambassador to growing the game or something too?
So, I mean, that it doesn't make sense. Like, yeah, I understand that. Last time in Pyeongchang, it was a little bit more complicated, and there was some maybe safety issue or whatever, and it was a tough area to go to. But still, it's the Olympics. They take care of their athletes. They are, you know, very well protected, and I think it came down to money. It came down to players' insurance and all the travel. But you're still playing 82 games in the National Hockey League, so you're not losing revenues in the National Hockey League. You're not losing playoff revenues. You're not. It's just trying to get more money. It's business.
It is business. So I mean, I guess the risk isn't on. It's not on the players. The risk isn't on the players. They go play and they could get hurt, but at the end of the day, they're still going to get
their
money.
They have guaranteed contracts, right?
So, yeah. So you know, the only thing they have to do is be, you know, it's justifiable. So sorry, I'm injured, boys. I'm on crutches. Not going to be able to finish the year with you.
Okay, well,
I'm out for the
this?
Year. We're going to miss the playoffs, but I want you to know I had a great time at the Olympic, what do they call the housing there? The Olympic village.
Oh, okay, so it's okay for the World Juniors to have a tournament at Christmas and New Year's? Because
they're juniors.
Who cares, right? So,
prospects.
Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen is having a great start of the season in, where is he playing?
Sudbury.
In Sudbury, right? He's going to go to the World Juniors. Ah, he could get hurt in the World Juniors and then not finish the season strong. It's the same rationale. It's the same mentality. It comes down to money. That's all that the decisions come down to. Comes down to money.
All right. Good debate. That was nice. Well done, guys.
Yeah, I love how you're the one ending the conversation, because like, I'm sitting here thinking, I'm like, yeah, you know, you can't. He does. It comes down
like
to money.
I feel like both are arguments. I feel like Humpty Dumpty. Because I totally understand what you're saying. Because I remember being going through that and having players on my team go over to the Olympics, and you know, you're obviously extremely nervous because they're your best players, and you don't want them to get hurt because that affects your team and affects your team moving forward. So there is that catch-22. But me personally, as a fan, right now.
Now
100%
I will say this:
I would like to see the Olympics.
For people that don't know, and I was fortunate enough to be in the league for two Olympic breaks. It's better to not be named to the Olympics. Anyway, you get 13 days off.
Oh.
13 days off in the middle of the season.
Glorious.
It was the worst day in my hockey career. Two of them were heading back after the All-Star break or the Olympic break. Okay.
And this guy over here did not skate for 13 days. So
I remember the workout program they gave us that you had to do every day.
Your legs and left in your stall.
I did not. I don't even know where that
car?
Paper was.
I remember guys were in Jersey. Guys were like getting their programs and, hey, remember to do stuff. And you're looking around and Brian Rolston's like he's on his way to Fiji or something like that. Yeah. And he's like, there's no way, boys, I'm going to be doing this. Well, no, I'm just joking. It wasn't Brian Rolston.
Listen, the fans on Twitter, a few of them are already spoken, and they say the fans love it. You know, it's time for the NHL and NHLPA to realize that it's for the fans. They want them, and it's good for the growth of the game. That was Joshua. He just puts it out there, and that's...
Yeah, well, like, break up those fans. If you take Canadian fans that want to see players playing for Canada, yeah, sure. Ask Oiler fans if they want McDavid to get hurt. Ask Leaf fans if they want Tavares, Matthews, Marner, Nylander...
there's a lot of them, Petey, that might say, you know what? I would love to see our Connor McDavid represent Canada in the Olympics. I think that those Canadians that are fans of Edmonton are saying, I want to see Connor McDavid play for Canada so we can win gold as a country.
That's right, Ribs.
Boom, shakalaka.
Well, there are 32
play with Johnny Gaudreau.
There are going to be 32 hockey countries in this league in a couple of years. Seattle will be the 32nd one, Riv, and those are the only countries that matter when it comes to HRR. Okay, HRR. When we come back, final segment of the Instigators right here. We didn't get through a couple of these, but we'll talk about the John Quick and the U.S.-born goaltenders and see if anyone else here feels like there's a flawed stat in the house. One Bills Live coming up at noon to 3. Be right back.
hockey talk that hits. This is The Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rabe.
Oh, this is me. Hey, welcome back, Instigators. Final segment for today. Marty's in, and he's back on Friday. Tomorrow, Jeremy Roenick at 10:30. Friday, we'll have Marty back and Darren Dreger at 11:30. You know what? I was going to actually ask you guys or tell you guys a tweet that I just read. And this person writes to me, Daniel, as a fan, I love NHLers in the Olympics, but if we were to lose Eichel or Dahlin to an injury in these games, it would be devastating. The teams are even more invested. I understand their position. So good on that. So John Quick finishes his career with the most U.S.-born goalie wins. That was going to be a buy-sell trade, but John Quick last night moved up to 300, and he has 302 wins.
Yep.
He's fourth all-time, just past Mike Richter. And, I mean, what a career this guy's had.
He needs 72 more wins to pass John Van Beesbrouck for tops. Ryan Miller's at 374, so Ryan Miller will keep going.
What does Ryan Miller have, though?
374.
He's tied with Van
Beesbrouck. I get that. But you're saying that he's going to continue to go up. I would say that Ryan Miller, most likely, this could be his last season.
Yeah, so he'll maybe get to 380.
Maybe another 383.
So that means Jonathan Quick will need 80 wins.
This is all flawed to me. There should be an asterisk beside this.
No.
Yes.
I know what you're going to say. Shootout wins and...
overtime ties. Van Beesbrouck had to face ties. Barrasso had ties. Richter had ties.
Yeah, but I also think that in the 80s and the 90s, where Richter, Van Beesbrouck, Barrasso...
5-on-5 overtime.
They played... and maybe I got to back it up, but I think they played more games in the season. Like Marty Brodeur played 75, 76 games in a season. Patrick Roy played 70. You don't see that anymore. So they ended up getting wins in that way, but
Beesbrouck has 73 ties.
So let's see, you give him another 35 wins.
Give him 50-50.
Yeah.
Okay, give him 37 wins.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he's at 415 or whatever.
That's significant.
Yeah, that's a lot.
No, I agree. I agree with part of what
you're
saying.
Will Jonathan Quick pass everyone?
Of course he will.
Yes.
How old is he? 33?
32, 33, yeah. So he needs 25 wins.
He's had a lot of injuries in the last number of years.
John Van Beesbrouck, 119 ties.
Yeah, that's
you give him another 50 wins on top of that. 40 wins, 30 wins, whatever you want to do.
I'd say even more than that.
Flawed stat.
Yep.
Flawed stat. All right, good job, Quick. You're good, but you're not that good. All right, Marty, you were amazing today. And you'll be amazing on Friday.
It's my bye week.
One Bills Live will be amazing next, 12 to 3. We'll be right back tomorrow. WGR 550 and MSU are great too.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.